California, we present Gene Herschel in a new Dr. Christian story called Tony Donello, brought to you by the Cheeseboro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline, and producers of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly, Vaseline Hair Tonic, and other famous Vaseline specialties. Long hair is out and brushed up hair is in. That's the big fashion news this season. If you want to get the most out of your new hairdo, your hair must be soft and lustrous and manageable. It's a simple, easy matter with regular Vaseline Hair Tonic care. Vaseline Hair Tonic is a really different tonic that actually supplements the natural scalp oils. It contains no drying alcohol and absolutely will not dry the hair. That's why Vaseline Hair Tonic, massaged on the scalp, not only helps stimulate circulation and remove loose dandruff scales, but also helps to counteract dryness. Before every shampoo, give your hair a thorough massage with Vaseline Hair Tonic. Then, after the shampoo, rub a few drops of Vaseline Hair Tonic over the hair while it's wet. This helps give the hair a pleasing luster and a softness. Vaseline Hair Tonic comes in shaker top bottles at 40 and 70 cents. Do buy one and discover for yourself the extra benefits of regular massage with Vaseline Hair Tonic before every shampoo. And now for our Dr. Christian story. It opens about summertime on a chilly autumn day. The frost is on the ground, and there's a smell of winter in the air as the doctor, after being up most of the night and out all day, returns wearily to his study. Judy has begun to get anxious.
Where have you been all day?
Oh, I've been all over the map.
You certainly have.
But I'm glad to get back here at last. That fire feels good. I don't think any other fire ever felt so good before.
Ah, you were up all night, too.
Mm-hmm. The Winters have got the baby.
I know it. I know all about it. It's a boy, and he's got red hair like Steve.
He'd better have red hair if he knows what's good for him.
I went up to Winters trying to find you, but you'd gone on your rounds.
Yeah, what do you go up there for?
Oh, Mrs. Mears was stewing because you hadn't been in to see her the first thing in the morning. I thought I'd find out what happened to you.
Anything wrong with Mrs. Mears?
No, not a thing. She's just the same as usual. I suppose you've been on the go all day, too.
Well, now there's a lot of territory to cover, you know.
You'll kill yourself at this rate.
Well, I haven't killed myself yet. You'll admit that, won't you?
Nobody else keeps at it from morning till night the way you do.
Well, when you start something, you've got to go through with it. Feels good to stretch out in front of this fire. It's pretty cold out, too. You remember the old almanac, Judy?
Hmm?
No, of course you don't. That was before your time. Why, they used to say, as the days begin to lengthen, the cold begins to strengthen.
You better go home and get into bed and strengthen yourself. You look all in.
Oh, I'm all right. I'm fine. You know what kept me going all day? It was Steve Winter's face when I told him he had a son. If ever I saw a man's face light up with joy, Steve was that man. Judy, it's a great thing to be able to bring happiness into people's lives.
Oh, there now, what did I tell you? You'll be down with the flu yourself the first thing you know.
No, I won't. It's just a little cold. That was just a simple garden variety of sneezes.
Yeah, maybe it was, but you're going to bed early tonight. You hear me?
So?
Yes. You're not going to take any more calls, either.
Oh, Judy, you'd make a fine wife for some upstanding boy. Mind if I snooze a little here in front of the fire before I start for home?
Oh, you'd much better get home to bed. You needn't open your eyes, either. If anybody wants you for anything, you haven't come in yet.
Oh, now, wait a minute. You can't say that.
You just listen to me say it. Hello? Oh, hello, Jerry.
Ah, the upstanding young man.
Yeah, I'll be ready in a little while.
So romance is knocking at your door, Judy.
Well, if you come by in about half an hour, I... Goodbye.
Like him, Judy?
Jerry? Oh, he's all right.
I'm glad you're going out with him tonight. You know, I can sail into you, too. You spend too much of your time in this office with your nose to the grindstone. And it's such a cute nose.
Well, I'm not going out with him till I'm sure you're on the way home. Wouldn't dare leave you alone here. He'd be off on a call to the other end of the country before you'd had a bite to eat.
I believe I can eat tonight. Yes, I know I can. You know what I'd like?
What?
I'd like a big soup tureen full of potato soup.
Oh,
not the kind you get nowadays, no, but the kind my mother used to dish out to us.
Oh, I thought you were going to take a snooze.
Oh, I am in a minute, Judy. I am in a minute, but... Ah, that was soup. The kind that would stick to your ribs till the next meal. And all made out of that amiable and honest vegetable. the noble potato.
Aren't all vegetables honest?
No. Some of them are merely humble, like the onion.
Oh,
did you know, Judy, that the onion is a poor relation of the lily?
No.
And it was only rescued from oblivion by Alexander the Great?
You'll never get to sleep this way.
And take the cabbage, Judy. The cabbage was so highly prized by the Egyptians that they built a temple in its honor. That's right. Remind me to take a basket of food over to the Winters when I call there tomorrow.
Oh, there you go again, thinking about your patients.
Well, Steve Winters hasn't had any too easy a time.
Then why do they want to have a baby?
Oh, Judy, everybody wants a baby. You want a baby, I want a baby.
I do not.
Oh, how could it start my snooze? You know what I'm thinking about?
About Mrs. Mears' fever chart, I suppose.
No, you're wrong. I'm thinking about how I used to like to lie in the barn on winter days when I was a boy, with the snow coming down outside. I'd lie there and sniff the smell of warm hay and grain and animal flesh. And I'd listen to the sound of munching.
Well, thank goodness he's asleep at last. Oh, dear.
What's that? That for me?
You go back to sleep. Hello? Who? Well, how do you spell it? Danilo. Tony Danilo? D like in doctor? Mm-hmm. Where? Georgetown. I'm sorry, but the doctor's not in.
Oh, certainly I'm in.
Wait a minute. This isn't anybody you ever heard of. He lives way out in Georgetown on the other side of the railroad tracks.
Well, what's he want?
Oh, his wife's sick.
Give me that telephone.
Now, you're not going to drive way over to Georgetown tonight when you haven't had a bite of supper. I'm sorry, but I don't know where to reach the doctor. You'll have to get somebody else. Well, there's a Dr. Reed in Georgetown. I know, but I just said he's not in yet. He's...
Judy, I want that telephone and I want it now.
Oh.
Hello? Hello, this is Dr. Christian. Well, what seems to be the trouble? Yes, yeah, I know all that. What's wrong with her? Uh-huh. I see. Yes. Oh, have you tried Dr. Reed? Oh, he's gone out of town. All right, I'll be right over as soon as I can get there. Now, give me your address. Not so fast, slowly. Put this down, Judy.
You're not going to any Georgetown tonight.
47 and a half Factory Street. And the name is Donello. I've got it. All right, I'll be there as soon as I can get there.
Oh, why did you tell him you'd go?
Because he's got a wife who's in a bad way.
Oh, there are other doctors.
Oh, will you put my medicine bag in the car?
You can't go without anything to eat it.
And you might stuff that old lap robe in, too. My knees get like blocks of ice.
All right, then. You're so stubborn, I'm going with you.
But you can't go. You've got a date.
I did have a date, but I haven't now.
Well, what about Jerry?
Oh, I'll leave a note for him. He'll find it when he comes here.
Well, you don't have to go with me.
Of course I don't have to, but if you're going to be so heroic, I guess I can be heroic, too.
Rosa, how do you feel, Rosa?
Oh, it hurts a bad, Tony.
Sure, I know, mia cara. But don't worry, the doctor will be here quick. I got the Dr. Christian over by Riversend. He says he come right away.
Tony, he no take me to no hospital.
Now, don't worry. He's not going to take you to no hospital. He's not going to take you no place.
I don't want to go to no hospital. Promise me, Tony. Promise me.
All right. He's going to fix you right here. I promise.
Oh, Tony. It hurts the butt again.
You want me to get you drink water?
No. Please, Tony. Don't go away from me, Tony. Oh, Tony, if you take me to a hospital, I die.
He ain't going to take you, I tell you.
My sister Maria, she died in the hospital. Oh, Tony, I'm scared, Tony.
Now, look, you haven't got nothing to be scared of. Tony's here. Tony won't let nobody take you to no hospital.
Hold my hand, Tony.
All right.
Oh, it hurts.
Now, don't worry.
It hurts, Tony.
While we're waiting for the program to continue, I'm going to ask a lady here in the studio to tell you the story she told me a few minutes ago. I think you'll enjoy it, too.
I'm a grandmother, and I try to be very careful not to be an interfering grandmother. But when I discovered my daughter-in-law didn't have a jar of Vaseline jelly among the baby's supplies, I just couldn't help going down to the druggist's and getting one. Well, I guess times haven't changed so much after all. She tells me it's about the biggest help she has. She rubs a little Vaseline jelly on Junior's body after every bath. If there's the slightest trace of chafing or diaper rash, she gets out the Vaseline jelly. If she sees any tiny bruise or scratch, she protects it with a thin film of Vaseline jelly. In fact, she's become as much of a Vaseline jelly fan as I am.
Your skin is the most important protective organ of your entire body. When it's chapped or rough or chafed, when minor skin irritations need soothing and healing, you can count on Vaseline jelly for threefold protection. First, it forms a protective film that helps keep infection out. Second, it assists healing. Third, it softens and lubricates the skin by supplementing the natural skin oils. If you haven't a jar or a tube of Vaseline jelly in the house, be sure to stop in at your druggist tomorrow and buy one. Vaseline jelly comes in tubes and jars at only 10 cents each. We return you now to River's End to continue the story of Dr. Christian's trip out to the little Donello home in Georgetown. It was a long, cold ride and pitch dark by the time the doctor and Judy pulled up before number 47 and a half Factory Street, walked up the sagging front steps, and rang a bell that jangled somewhere off inside of the house.
Ooh, I hope they don't keep us waiting out here forever.
You really shouldn't have come with me, Judy. You ought to be off of what's his name.
Oh, you don't suppose I'd have enjoyed being with him with you way out here alone, do you?
Here comes somebody now.
Oh. Come in, doctor. Come in.
You're Mr. Donello?
Sure. My wife, is she sick?
Yes, I know.
Who you got with you?
This is Miss Price, my secretary.
My Rosa, she's in there. Come, quick.
Just a minute, I'll take my coat off. Now, before we go in, suppose you tell me what seems to be the trouble.
Doctor, she's got a big pain. Here, inside.
Mm-hmm. When did she first have it?
At 5 o'clock this morning before I go to work. She got me up and she say, Tony, I got a big pain.
Has she ever had it before?
Oh, sure, sure. Maybe 2-3 times, I don't know. She get it bad and then it gets better. Only this time it don't get no better.
I see. What you do for it?
I get it out to where I'm the stove and I put some rags in. And then I put her on hold.
Hot water, eh? Well, cold water would have been better.
She wanted that water. That makes her feel maybe a little better. But she don't get up. She don't cook no breakfast. She don't want to eat nothing. Then I go to work. I gotta go to work. I don't want to leave her bed like that. But she say, Tony, I've been like this before. All the time I feel better. But she don't get no bed. She's very sick, doctor. And then about 4 o'clock this afternoon, she have a very bad pain. Terrible pain. And it keeps on so bad that she can. And when I come home, I find her like that.
Well, well, don't worry. We'll go and look her over.
Wait a minute, doctor. I got to tell you something.
What is it?
She don't want to go to no hospital. No matter how bad it was. Her sister Maria, she died in the hospital last year. Everybody died in the hospital. The hospital is no good.
Oh, now, come, come. You don't believe that, do you?
Sure, that's right. You fix her up, doctor, so she don't have to go to the hospital.
No. Where is she?
Right here. Rosa. Rosa. He's here. The doctor, he come.
Yes, I'm here, Rosa. And I'm sure you're sick. I'm sure you had such a bad day.
Oh, it hurts. It's so
I know it does. I'm going to take your pulse. Judy, get my stethoscope out.
Yes.
Let's see your tongue. How do you feel now?
Oh, I don't know. But it's better than before. At 4 o'clock, the pain is terrible. I think I died.
Well, now let's take a look. The nurse will fix your clothes.
Oh.
Hmm. The abdomen is like a board.
Oh.
I won't hurt you, Rosa. I won't hurt you. Now, deep breath. You can't take such a deep one, can you?
No.
What's the matter, doctor? What's the matter with the road?
Well, now I can't say just yet. Why don't you sit down over there and take it easy while I examine her?
Oh, doctor.
Lift her up a little from your side, Judy. Can I get my hat on her back?
How's that?
That's right. This area seems to be all right.
You want me to turn her over?
Well, it isn't easy to turn her. But I've got to look over the chest pretty carefully so to make sure that there isn't something in the base of those lungs. The stethoscope.
What are you going to do now?
Well, take it easy, Tony. Take it easy. I'm not going to hurt her. I'm just going to listen to her heartbeat. Here. Want to hear it?
No.
There now, Rosa. I don't think we'll have to disturb you again for a little while.
What did you say? What's the matter? Why you don't say nothing?
From a history of previous attacks, as you've given it to us, and from the examination I've just made, there's no question about what's wrong with her. She's got a ruptured appendix.
What do you see? I don't understand.
Well, the appendix is a little gland, a finger-shaped gland in your right side. It never gives you any trouble until it gets inflamed. And then it fills up with poison, and even that isn't so bad unless you neglect it so long that this little sack of poison bursts and spreads all over the inside of you. And that's what's happened to Rosa. The little bag has burst.
What are you going to do for her? Are you going to make her well?
There's only one place for her to get well, and she's got to get there as fast as we can get her there. That's the hospital.
Tony.
I told you she don't go to the hospital. She stay here.
No, Tony, you promised me, Tony.
Sure, sure, Rosa. Don't cry. I'm not going to let him take you to the hospital.
But she's got to go, and the sooner the better.
No, she don't go.
No, please. I don't want to go. I want to stay here by Tony.
Yes,
please.
So she stay here by me.
Now, look, Tony.
No.
It doesn't make any difference what you think or what she thinks or what anybody thinks. She's got to go to the hospital and go now.
You understand? It's a matter of life or death.
I tell you, no, she's not going.
The longer you wait, the more the poison will spread inside of her. Maybe she'll die anyway. But if you don't have her operated on right away, she can't get well.
I say no.
Oh, my sister Maria, she no come back from hospital. Oh, I'm scared. I'm scared to go there.
You'll come back from the hospital, Rosa. You're going to get along all right. You haven't got a thing in the world to be afraid of. You believe me, don't you?
No, she don't go.
Oh, don't talk like a fool, man. You've got no business holding her back this way. You ought to be the one to give her backbone.
I say she stay here and she stay here.
Do you want her to die?
You better fix her here because she's not going anyplace. She stay right here.
But I can't do it here. Don't you understand, Tony? She's got to be operated on. Everything's got to be sterile to give her an even break. If I try to do it here with no equipment and no light and no operating table, why, she'd die as sure as you're standing there. The one chance she's got is to get her to a hospital. And even that chance will be gone if we don't get out of here in about 1 minute.
Oh, you needn't be afraid, Tony. We'll bundle her up and nothing will happen to her.
Yes, I've got my car outside. We'll take on that.
Where's her coat? I'll get it on her. We've got to work fast.
Tony, yes. Tony, you promised me. You promised
me, Tony.
Sure.
Look at that closet door there, Judy.
All right.
You'll probably find her coat hanging in there.
No.
Yes, here it is.
Take those blankets off the bed and wrap them around her.
No.
I'll help you get her arms into the coat.
Yes,
Rosa, Rosa, you want to live for Tony, don't you? You want to be strong and well again. And you can't live unless you let us take care of you.
Tony, you see, I have to go. I don't want to go if I die here. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care.
Don't, you won't die, Rosa. You're going to be all right. After the operation, you'll feel much better, and pretty soon you'll be as good as new. Got that coat button on out of you?
Yes.
I'll wrap these blankets tight around her between Tony and me. We'll get out of here. You don't look as if you weigh very much, Rosa. You don't look as if...
I told you she don't go to the hospital. You do it here. If my wife, she die, you die too. I shoot you dead.
Ah! Look out! He's got a gun.
Get away from that door.
Do it here like I say or I shoot.
Oh, but don't you understand? He can't do it here. There's no way on earth he can do it here.
Tony, don't shoot.
I don't shoot if they do like I say. But if they go near this door, I kill them dead.
No.
You want your wife to live, don't you?
If she don't live, you don't live. Now, come on, hurry up. Do it here.
All right. All right, I'll do it here.
What? You can't. You can't possibly.
Yes, I think I can. If he feels that way about
it, can you? This room, this place, you...
All right, Tony. You win. We'll do it here.
Sure you'll do. You wouldn't walk out of here if you don't do like I say.
It's going to be hard to do it here. You understand that, don't you, Tony?
Sure.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad.
Well, I'll have to do the best I can. Judy, put some water on to boil.
Doctor, you must be crazy. You can't perform an operation in this place.
Put plenty of water on, Judy. If you can find a washtub someplace, fill it full of water and put it on to boil. We'll have to wait until the water is boiling before we can start, Tony.
Right.
I've got to sterilize all my instruments in boiling water. Now then, Rosa. We might as well make you comfortable while we're waiting.
No.
We'll put you back here on the bed, but I think I'll leave these blankets right around you this time. Pretty chilly in here, so you'd better keep your coat over your shoulder. Have you found a washtub or a dishpan yet, Judy?
No, I... Oh, you can't do it, Dr. Christian. Don't try. No matter what he does to you, don't try.
Do as I tell you.
Tony, don't let him do it here. It isn't fair. It isn't right. He's such a good surgeon. He's helped so many people. You haven't got any right to ask him to do a thing like this. Let him take her to the hospital, Tony. Please let him take her to the hospital.
No.
Now, Judy, it's all settled. I'm going to do the best I can right here. Start the water boiling. That's your job. Tony, you've got to help me, too.
Sure, I help.
Now, let's see. I've got to fix up some sort of an operating table. Have you got a kitchen table?
Sure, in there.
Where?
In here, I show you.
Well, we'll have to take the mattress off the bed and put it on the kitchen table.
Well, you don't operate on a mattress.
Now, Judy, you tend to your end of the business and I'll tend to mine. I need that mattress. All you've got to do is to get that water boiling as quick as you know how.
Right.
Tony will lift her very carefully and then I'll carry the mattress into the kitchen. Now, let's see. I wonder if it'll fit this table. It's going to be a bit too big for it, but I think I can make it do. Now, Tony, come on back and give me a hand with Rosa.
Sure.
As soon as I get the mattress on the kitchen table and we lift it onto that, the next thing for you to do, Tony, is to go over there to the basin and wash your hands.
Wash my hands?
Yes, and wash them good. You've got to have clean hands. That's the half of the battle in surgery. We always scrub up before an operation. You see, we use some strong disinfectant that takes all the germs off our hands.
All right. All right, I wash.
Tony, I stay here, yes?
Yes, Rosa, you stay here.
Oh.
Tony's going to put his arms under you and lift you up very carefully, Rosa.
Oh.
You'd rather have him do it than anybody else, I know that. And while he's lifting you up, I'm going to carry the mattress into the kitchen and put it on the table there. That's where I'll operate, see? Now then, Rosa, let Tony put his arms under you.
Oh.
There. Now, that doesn't hurt much, does it? You'll be very gentle because I know everything hurts.
Oh, it hurts.
Oh, yes, of course it hurts, but it won't hurt long now, Rosa. Take over to that door, you.
What do you mean? What are you going to do? Hey, leave that gun alone!
Oh, no, Tony. I've got the gun now. I got it when you put it down to lift Rosa. And you're going to do exactly what I tell you to, or I'll blow your stupid brains out.
Oh, it's a trick. So you trick me, eh?
Why, I don't care enough about you to trick you. I only care about your wife. He's going to have a chance to live if I have to drill you full of holes to get it to her.
Listen, I'd get you for this.
You can get me all you want. But before you do, you'll carry your wife out that door and into that car, or else I'll kill you.
How is she, Doctor?
Oh, fine, Judy, fine. She couldn't be better.
Oh, you mean the operation's a success?
A complete success. He's going to get well in no time at all.
Phew. I'm still weak in the knees.
Oh, that's because you're hungry.
That's right. We haven't had anything to eat yet, have we?
No, I don't mind telling you. I thought for a minute or two I never would again.
Say, how'd you ever think of turning the tables on him like that?
Oh, I don't know. I think some divine power greater than ourselves gives us strength in moments like that.
I couldn't imagine what you were thinking about when you said you'd operate in that cubbyhole of a room.
I had to do it to throw him off his guard. I had to give him something to do where he'd use both hands and put down that gun. Where is he?
In the waiting room.
He can see her now. He'll be out of the eater in a few minutes.
He doesn't deserve to see her.
Oh, sure he does. He loves her, doesn't he?
Oh, I don't call that love.
Then you don't know anything about love.
Well, he was willing to let her die rather than give in to you.
And that was fear, Judy. A man driven crazy by fear. Well, he was beside himself with terror for fear something would happen to her.
Well, I don't look at it that way.
Ah, that's because you're only a kid. You have to be very old to understand all the human heart. Come on now, let's go and tell him the good news.
Oh, you go, I won't.
Oh, yes, you will, yes, you will. Come on. Tony!
Yes, yes, my Rosa. Where's my Rosa?
I'm going to take you to see her right now.
Take me to see her? You mean she's alive?
Well, of course she's alive. And she's going to get well.
No, Doctor. God bless you. God bless you, Doctor.
She wouldn't be alive if you'd had your way.
You'd better meet me in the lunchroom across the street from the hospital, Judy. You sound sort of crotchety. Oh, and order me a big bowl of soup. A potato soup. You know, the kind that sticks to your ribs till the next meal.
Well, you've got the doctor to thank for everything, Tony.
I thank you for everything, Dr. Christian. Tony's down on his knees like this. Tony, kiss your hand.
Oh, get up. Don't do that. I don't want you to do that.
Tony gives his life for you. There is nothing you ask Tony wouldn't do for you.
Well, all I want you to do right now is to go in there and sit beside your wife. And I don't want you to talk to her either. I just want you to sit there and hold her hand. You think you can do that?
Oh, sure, sure. But I'm going to pay you, Doctor. Tony, pay. What's your charge?
Well, now, Tony, let's see. That's always a difficult question for a professional man to answer. Doctors ought to be endowed so they wouldn't have to charge you anything. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll keep your revolver for a souvenir, and we'll call it square. What do you say?
Oh, sure, sure.
There, she's calling you. She wants you.
Rosa. My Rosa. Doctor, you come in with me?
No. No, this minute belongs to you folks. Besides, she doesn't want to see me. Now you go in there, Tony, the way I told you. And just hold her hand.
In just a moment, we'll introduce to you the cast of tonight's play and ask Mr. Herschel to tell us something about next week's drama. In the meantime, I have a word to say about the products that make this program possible. Vaseline jelly has been known for generations as the handiest thing in the house for all kinds of minor skin ailments. This enviable reputation has been built upon the strictest standards of purity in manufacture. Vaseline jelly is made by a special scientific process, refined until it is so pure that you can eat it, and packed in sterilized containers. When you buy, look for the trademark Vaseline. It is your assurance that you are getting the genuine article. And because it is so wonderful for the skin, it has been made the base of several specialties. Vaseline carbolated jelly, Vaseline borated jelly, Vaseline camphor ice, and Vaseline lip ice. Ask your druggist about their special benefits. Now the artists are standing to take a bow. Young Rosemary DeCamp, the charming redhead, plays Judy Price, the doctor's secretary. Mara Alexander, with the black tresses, was Rosa Donello. Don Orlando played Tony Donello. And this lovely white-haired lady, Gertrude W. Hoffman, is the grandmother who bought the jar of Vaseline jelly for her grandson. You know, around Hollywood here, they're asking if we choose the artists for this program on account of their hair. Well, we choose the artists, of course, for their acting ability. But if they're users of Vaseline hair tonic, we don't hold it against them. Now we want you to meet our star, Jean Herschel as Dr. Christian. What kind of story have you for us next week, Dr. Christian?
Well, it's really the story of two women in our town, the one being very aristocratic, important, and wealthy, the other quite humble and poor. It's called The Accident. And you will hear it next Tuesday at the same hour. Until then, I'll say good night.
Listen without fail to Jean Herschel's Dr. Christian story for next week. It is called The Accident and is an absorbing human life drama, so don't miss it. Jean Herschel appears on this program through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox, whose new quintuplet picture with Jean Herschel, called Five of a Kind, is now showing at theaters everywhere. Your announcer is Arthur Gilmore. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.